3 summers ago, I boarded a plane in Nashville, Tennessee, and I flew 24 hours later, ended up in Kampala, Uganda. I designed a research project to learn how music and dance practices in the Ugandan church allows for women's leadership. I made connections with different United Methodist women's groups and spent my summer there with them. Have you ever moved to a foreign land? Maybe you've moved to a new state in the United States. I was not surprised that in my time in Uganda that I didn't feel like I fit in. But I never knew the degree to which I would wonder about my belonging. I went to learn about women and their stories, and I end up learning more about myself, my own identity and belonging. I have no actual idea how Ruth felt when she entered Israel. As Michael explained 2 weeks ago, you know that she is a foreigner, a Moabite, and you know that she's a widow. And that she would have experienced lots of stereotyping having to do with both of those things. The stereotyping I experienced in Uganda was mostly positive, but I was still an outsider in a foreign land. We all have some glimpse of what it's like to feel out of place, to belong nowhere, and to wonder, will I ever find my way? Our scripture passage this morning starts with a question from Boaz to his servant. Who is this young woman? Where does she belong? The servant answered, Ruth is with Naomi. Even with Ruth's striking vow to go wherever she goes and to die wherever Naomi dies, Ruth does not belong to her mother-in-law. Ruth belongs to no one. In the context of a time when the judges ruled Israel, a woman must belong to someone, and a woman who does not belong to a man belongs to every man. This knowledge makes me realize how brave Ruth must have been to simply walk around, let alone enter a field and start gleaning when she knew no one. When we consider Ruth's situation as a widow and a foreigner, Ruth belonged to no one, and therefore anyone could take advantage of her. Yet, when we consider Ruth's spiritual identity, the story is different. She belongs to the God of Israel, the God of Naomi. She experienced deep love and belonged to God. When we do not acknowledge that we belong to God, we're vulnerable to be controlled by everything and anyone. This reminds me of the song, Gotta Serve Somebody, by the prophet Bob Dylan. In the opening track to his 1979 album, Slow Train Comin', Dylan describes a life that has become controlled by different occupations and vices. And he says, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Dylan understood that if you don't belong to something, you belong to everything. It can be difficult to accept our identity as a child of God. Even when we, like Ruth, make a vow before God and others, it can be challenging. Another 20th century prophet, Henry Nouwen, talks about this struggle. He says, you have to trust the place that is solid, the place where you can say yes to God's love, even when you do not feel it. Right now, you feel nothing except emptiness and the lack of strength to choose. But keep saying, God loves me. God's love is enough. You have to choose the solid place over and over again and return to it after every failure. Ruth understood that it's not just about a single one-time vow to God, but a continual daily acceptance that God's love is real and God's love is abundant. Last week, Michael introduced to us the word hesed. It means God's loving faithfulness, God's loving kindness. We are all on a constant journey to accepting hesed. Ironically, when we claim our true identity and accept the love and belonging from God, we are finally free. Even more ironic, the best way to live in this full freedom is to give it away. This is what Boaz does in the book of Ruth. In the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it mentions the right of the widow, the poor, and the stranger to glean in fields when after the harvest is finished. As I mentioned with the children, gleaners were allowed in the fields and orchards to pick the fruits and vegetables. The right to glean behind the reapers, though, was not a right that could be claimed. It was a privilege granted or refused by the owner. Boaz not only granted Ruth the right to glean behind the reapers, but he also provided for her personal comfort by giving her protection and allowing for her to drink water with the other servants. In today's scripture passage, we have two models for God's chesed and how it can transform our lives. The first is Ruth, who models the ability to accept God's chesed for her life, and it gives her the courage and grit to face the pain of this world. The second is Boaz. Boaz models the ability to accept God's chesed and offer it to others. I can't help but recognize the modern day examples of Ruth and Boaz in the United States context. The foreign-born population has changed drastically over the last 50 years in the U.S. In the 1960s, foreign-born population was about 5%, and they came mostly from European nations. They settled in the Northeast and the Midwest. In today's context, foreign-born population is about 12%. And these folks usually come from Latin America and Asian countries, and they settle in the West and the South. Here in Tennessee, we have about 4.5% foreign-born, but in the city of Nashville, we match the national average of 12%. Nashville and many other cities in the U.S. have some of the fastest-growing populations of immigrants. In addition to the existing Latino and Kurdish communities, the city has seen an influx of residents from Sudan, Eastern Europe, Somalia, Egypt, Korea, and other areas. This information might be old news to many of you. It might be a little fearful or daunting to some of you, and it might be exciting to others. No matter where your mind goes with these statistics, it's important to recognize the models of Ruth and Boaz. You don't have to search long to discover people acting with courage and reaching out to welcome others in Nashville. One of my favorite stories is that of Renata Soto. Renata was born in Costa Rica and moved to the United States in 1990 for school. She later moved to Nashville. 10 years ago, Renata was one of the co-founders of Conexión Americas. You may know that this organization provides comprehensive services from economic, civic, and social integration for Latino families. But her vision didn't stop there. She decided she wanted to provide a place for all immigrants in Nashville. And she dreamed of Casa Azafrán, a community center that would be a collective of nonprofits to offer services in education, legal, healthcare, and the arts to immigrants, refugees, and the whole Nashville community. I read her story in the Nashville Scene as 2013 Nashvillian of the Year. Her work in Nashville community models Ruth's courage to navigate foreign systems and Boaz's willingness to offer comfort and provision to others out of the abundance of the community. Casa Azafrán is located just south of the Tennessee State Fairgrounds, and it's the Spanish word for saffron, but originally comes from Arabic. Saffron is a golden, yellow, orange spice indigenous to Asia, and it's used in many cultures, continents, and civilizations. Casa Azafrán chose this name specifically to show their intention and commitment to welcome all immigrants in Nashville. Those of you who cook with saffron or azafrán know how precious this spice is. At the price of $2,000 to $10,000 per pound, it is the most expensive food on the earth, more than truffles, caviar, and balsamic vinegar. The reason it's so expensive is that the threads to make saffron come from a very delicate flower that only blooms for a year, only blooms for a week every year. I didn't know anything about saffron until I purchased some as a gift for a friend in Israel a few weeks ago. I didn't pay much for it, so I'm not sure I actually got any saffron. But I came home and I looked up how to cook with this. The overwhelming majority of cooking sites say it's best to add saffron early in the cooking so its flavor can infuse all the other ingredients. One food blogger, Max Follwinkel, said, "If you want saffron's delicate flavor to come to the fore, keep the other flavors and seasonings to a minimum. I most enjoy saffron as a supporting player, less for its flavor than for the depth of the flavor it gives to the whole dish. The way azafran infuses the other ingredients, the way saffron gives depth and flavor to the whole dish, this is the true nature of God's hesed. When we allow God's love and belonging to saturate our lives, the taste, smell, color, and texture of our realities change. We have the courage, like Ruth, to face the pain in this world, to travel to a foreign land out of love and dedication to another, to take great risks and trust God will be faithful, to accept the generosity of others. When we live in the abundance of Boaz, recognizing the plenty God gives us and offering to share it with others, we feel the freedom to go above and beyond for those whom we hold a stereotype or those whom we do not know. So I give you the blessing that Boaz gives to Ruth. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge."